Nothing's changed. The skins are getting worse. Another rocky start. I feel like this team is cursed. Should we blame the owner? Or blame the referees?
Or maybe we should blame RG3?
Heck no!
Blame Shanahan! Blame Shanahan!
With his beady little eyes and his mouth so full of lies.
Blame Shanahan! Blame Shanahan!
That wasn't even a real tan anyway.
Welcome to the TK Jingles Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Grelli. This podcast features songs from the Tony Kornheiser Radio Show and tkjingles.com. And I wrote that song, I think, last Thursday, assuming the Redskins would lose. They made it interesting today and kept it awfully close, but my hunch was right. Not that I was rooting for them to lose, but I had a feeling. Anyway, TK Jingles is now also on Facebook at facebook.com/tkjingles. So if you like this podcast, if you like the stupid music that you hear, and would like updates or just to know what's going on, click the like button there and you'll be subscribed on Facebook. So facebook.com/tkjingles. Today's episode is brought to you by Ponderosa Steakhouse, because you need to eat something. We have a fantastic episode today. Kevin Sheehan will be joining me a little bit later for an interview. And then we've got some great music. Mike and Burke will be joining for some TK trivia, and then a jam-packed mailbag. But before I get into that, there was one topic I wanted to address. About a year ago, I launched tkjingles.com, and I specifically named it TK Jingles, leaving out mailbag or anything like that, because I wanted it to be more open-ended. I thought it would be songs from Tony's show. And my ultimate goal as I was writing all those jingles in that summer of 2013 was to have a song that might be an intro song for the show or a song that might introduce a guest. I wrote a couple songs about Wilbon. I always thought that would be nice. And I just wanted to point out that this has now become a phenomenon that whenever there's a song they particularly like, they will play it to lead into a guest. But the original songs that I have, you know, constantly reminded Nigel about, such as Friday Friday, the introduction for Jaws, or anything about Wilbon, they've never used. And I even did one about Barry Zerluga that they didn't use. So I think it's really funny that they're using all of them, you know, to introduce people and that they seem to be getting such a kick out of it. I think there was one for Anne Hornaday last week and James Carville had one, but it really sticks in my craw that I specifically try to keep it generic so that I could join that part of it. And I haven't been able to break through. So maybe someday. And speaking of chatting with Nigel, I take this way too seriously. I mean, I host a freaking podcast about mailbag songs. So let's get that out of the way. I understand that. But I think on Tuesday's show last week, maybe Monday's show, they played nothing but Love and Spoonful songs. And I had just sent Nigel 24, 48 hours earlier, a Love and Spoonful parody of Do You Believe in Magic? And I thought, oh, they're going to play this now. It's great. The whole show set up for it. Love and Spoonful, awesome. Didn't play it. The next day, the Nationals clinched first place. I said, oh, yes, Nigel was waiting for this. Now he's going to play it because my parody was called I Believe I Had That, about how the Nationals are in first place, how they won the division, and oh, this is perfect timing. I'm glad Nigel saved. Didn't play it. So I sent him an email. I said, hey, Nigel, I noticed you had two great opportunities to do this. You didn't play it. You know, the window's closed on this one. Here's some other songs you should play instead, and I sent a few from the summer that I thought would be funnier. And he responded and said, no. You know, you overestimate, you know, the timing of these things. They're funny whenever I play them, and they'll still be funny. Don't worry about it. And it was, you know, funny. But again, I assume in my mind that this is this carefully orchestrated show being produced surrounding, you know, the stupid crap that I do and the other littles are doing, when it's more like, oh, all right, we've got a show to do. Oh, and hey, some dude sent us some songs. Let's just tack this on the end. You know, who cares? So it's not that integral to their scheduling. But nonetheless, I continue to have those conversations with Nigel to try to influence the pacing and the way these things are woven into the show. And every now and then I'll get through and we'll agree on something. But, you know, he's got like 8,000 other jobs. So this is probably the last thing on his mind when he's helping to produce the show. All right. So anyway, on to the music, and then we'll have a little chat with Kevin. So the first song here is by John Fitzpatrick in response to Tony's comment that he wants better emails. And this is one of the few, you know, I laugh at some of these inside. I smile, I smirk. But this is one of the few that when I heard it, just from the opening guitar riff, I just started laughing. Thought it was so funny. And then I have an outtake here. I did last week, my friend Mark Palladouris and I did Tony's Mailbag, the original song in a reggae style. And that's up on the website right now, and hopefully it'll be on Tony's show at some point. But we also did an alternate take that Mark really liked and I just thought was too stupid to send in. But it is, I'll play it here for you. It's a little bit longer and includes some dialogue. Then we have a parody of Blur, City House, Patrick Moffitt, KJ with Against All Odds, Joe Arrow with Down on the Corner, a much more traditional old school mailbag, the kind of thing you might have heard about a year ago. So I like those, just kind of keeping it real and, you know, sticking to the script. And that's wonderful. And then we have a new 877 jingle by Shad. I mean, I'm sure Little's probably just tuned into this episode to hear this. And then the aforementioned I Believe I Had That. And I know last week I think I was hassling people about not using songs that have already been covered. And then lo and behold, the very next week I do the same damn thing because there's already a brilliant Do You Believe in Magic that's out there. But having said that, you know, this is a good one.
And by the way, the emails stink lately.
We need people to step it up.
So get better. Get better, okay?
He's wanting better mail next time. Tony's now getting mad at mailbag.
Boy, can this man complain?
The emails we're sending are a drag.
Yes, he can complain.
They don't send him their love.
Boy.
It's not good enough.
Boy.
Yet we still listen to this windbag. This show stinks, ain't getting better.
Better.
A little better, still well short of fine.
He keeps getting worse.
I promise my email will be better.
Better.
It will be better when your paycheck is mine.
Time for some reggae.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. He's got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Comes Mr. Tony's mailbag. He's gonna read some for all your folks.
All right, my friend, now that is how you do a mailbag jingle.
That is the worst Jamaican accent I have ever heard.
What do you mean, man? I studied for 3 years at the Juilliard to perfect this accent. That's a spicy meatball.
Worst mailbag ever.
DC dweller, successful fella, goes to bed at night on piles of money, hands and issues, we would agree. He's a professional cynic, but he's old and not with it. Most of the time, he is past the legal limit. Can't find his iPod and can't see, but he's fat and old, he's bald and old. He lives in a house, a very big house in the city. Drops some PTI and he drinks a lot of wine in the city. He's either out at the pump or he's sipping Alanubis's whiskey. There's a podcast delay for at least another day in that sh**.
How am I supposed to listen live? When I work each day from 9 to 5, not to mention I live miles away. A weasel's what's your deal? I'm not the only one who thinks you've wrecked the show. And take a look at me now. Oh, there's just an empty space. There's no podcast here on my iPhone. Sons of bitches, such a waste. Ooh, it's a gots to go now. Weasels, don't show your face. Cause that shit free Tony is against all odds. And that's what I've gotta face.
1-877 reap what you sow. REPE reap what you sow. 1-877 reap what you sow. You're gonna get what you give these days. Listen, oh mighty orange, when the quality of the emails are a direct function of your opening rant and Kevin's news, and frankly you've come up a little bit short on both, We get it. Strass is an orchid. Worth is the hardest thing in the galaxy. And you're just not sold yet on Williams. Does that sound familiar? You know what? It does to us because we hear it every morning. And as for the news, enough with the sports. Nobody who is listening gives a crap who owns the team in Buffalo. More stories about the animal revolution and those stories that are of such a horrible and tragic nature that they inevitably lead to Kevin breaking down and giggling like a little schoolgirl. You know what? You want better email? How about stepping up the plate with a little bit better email fodder? And Tony, even the kids know. You reap what you sow. Fodder? I don't get it.
Yes, I believe I had that. The Nats are in first place. Hey, Michael Wilbon, in your face. Yes, I had that. My new claim to fame. I'll stand eating ice cream and I'll watch every game. I'll tell you how I had that. I won't let this go. And I'll remind you every night if you watch my show. Yes, I believe I had that.
Okay, that's a small sampling of some of the songs from tkjingles.com from the past week. I think it's maybe about half of what was posted, so it's hardly comprehensive. If you like what you heard there, go to the website or download one of the handy mobile apps, and you can listen to the recent jingles at your convenience. But there's some really good ones up there. The Bohemian Crapsody that Brad and KJ did that they played a snippet of on Tony's show. The full-length thing is on there. You got to hear that. All right, now I'd like to transition to the interview with Kevin. One of the real privileges for me of doing this whole stupid thing is getting to meet everybody and have, you know, minor acquaintance slash friendships with some of these people. And Kevin was really, you know, nice and gracious enough to come on the podcast. So I appreciate his time. I think if you've listened to ESPN 980, you'll hear that he's on there about 24, 25 hours a day. So I don't know how he found time to get this in. We did have to delay it a couple weeks. Still easier to schedule than Nigel Stern, I'll say that. But nonetheless, Kevin is great. And here is the interview already in progress. And then after this, we're going to have some trivia and this some mailbag. So stick around. All right, Kevin, thank you for taking the time to join us today on the TK Jingles podcast.
It is my pleasure, Jerry.
I've got a couple questions for you here. I'd like to start with just a little background on yourself. Just like to know a little bit how long you've been working in radio and maybe when you first joined ESPN 980.
I've been in radio for about 10 years now, 9 or 10 years, something like that. And the first job I got in radio, I sort of got into radio late in life, but the first job I had was at ESPN 980, and I've been in the same place essentially for all 9 years.
Wow, what brought you to it? I know that when I met you, one of the things that really stood out was your voice, so I'm sure you probably got that a lot, you know, when you worked in that field.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a completely different business. I was involved in several entrepreneurial businesses, and the last one that that we started, we actually took public in 2000 and then sold it in 2002. And then after that, sports talk was something I always wanted to do. Play-by-play, actually, sports was something I always wanted to do. So as we were winding, as we sold the company in 2002, and I had sort of a contract to stay on with the company for, you know, about 18 months. And during that process, I started to do a bunch of play-by-play on the side. When it's sort of a long story on how I got gigs, but I just sort of talked my way into doing some Division III college football games, and then I did Catholic University football games. And then I put together sort of a resume tape and gave it to a guy I knew who was running these stations here in D.C. And he gave me an opportunity, and it was just one, you know, sort of lucky break after another after that.
You know, now, I think every time I turn on ESPN 980, you're on the radio, whether it's your own show or you're dialing into somebody else's show. I mean, do you ever sleep? It's like you're always working.
Well, I'll tell you. The biggest break I got is so in, you know, it's 9 or 10 years ago, it was 2004 maybe, so about 10 years ago, the guy that was running the station here in D.C., a guy by the name of Bennett Zier, who was a friend of a friend, he said, you really want to do this? You're going to make a lot less money than you were making before, at least initially, and he's going through, you know, giving me all these reasons why I shouldn't do it. And I said, well, I've sort of got a window of opportunity to to try to get into this. I've always thought that I could do it. And he put me on the air one Saturday morning doing updates, sports updates. And a week later, the girl that was doing, Meredith Joseph, the woman that was doing morning updates at WTEM, left to go on maternity leave. I said, I can do her job, because it was like 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m. until 10 a.m., and then I could go back to doing what I was doing and just sort of show up to work late every day. And within 2 weeks of starting those updates, Tony came back to local radio, and I was doing updates as a part of his show, and that's how I sort of got involved in Tony's show, and I've been doing it. I've been a, sort of a part of that show ever since. It was total luck, and his being a part of his show was a huge break for me, because it gave me a ton of exposure, and I had none before, you know, being a part of his
show. And on his show right now, you take a lot of grief for your role as a newsman on that show. What do you do to prepare for that?
Nothing. I do nothing to prepare for it. That's not entirely true. Nigel will usually put a bunch of stories that Tony says he wants to do on my desk. And then, you know, the night before, the morning of, I'm always jotting down things that I think might work, if we have time for them. But usually Tony will be there and I'll walk in, you know, maybe 20 minutes before the first newscast, and I'll say, you know, Nigel gave me these. Do you want me to do these? And they'll be like, I don't care. What do you want to do? And, you know, we'll talk about it for 30 seconds. And then, you know, he pretty much trusts me to do whatever I want to do. And then, but most of the time these are the things that he wants to do. And then I'll add a story or two. So it's pretty easy. And then I just essentially, you know, wing it with a few notes, because it's not, you know, as I'm sure everybody's figured out, it's not like I'm an official news person.
Well, I think as a result of it being stories he wants to hear about, he's often talked about them already by the time you come in, and then you get a lot of crap for that.
Well, that's the best part, is that, you know, if he's already talked about them, but he told me to do them, then I look like an idiot for repeating the same story. And as you know, as you figured out, that's sort of a part of the thing. The interesting thing is we never do it on purpose. But he will say, do the WNBA, you know, championship game. And I'm like, really? You really want me to do that? And he's like, yeah, there's something in there that I want to talk about. Then he does it as part of the segment, and then I do it on the news, because I'm not, you know, I think everybody sort of knows sort of the layout of the show. So I'm not able to listen to it necessarily, you know, as it's going on.
All right. Well, switching topics a little bit here. Now, you've established yourself as a reliable long-term prognosticator with your winter weather forecast, and I'm sure that's ratings gold for the show. Curious.
It is. I had no idea.
It's hyped up every year. I know it's big on Twitter.
Yeah.
Can you describe the process that goes into putting that together? And based on your run of success, do you ever feel pressure when you're putting that together?
That is so funny. My run of success is a winter weather prognosticator, long-range forecaster. There's a lot, Jerry. You know this. I mean, you've seen some of the equipment that we have in the studio, some of the satellite stuff that we have, and all of the models that we have. So, you know, my colleagues and I spend a good solid 2 to 3 weeks sort of sorting through all the stuff. We look at sunspot, you know, activity. No, there is the only preparation is the night before I start. I got to think of what sort of sponsors we're going to have to sponsor it. But the interesting thing about the winter weather thing is I actually really do like the whole winter weather thing, and I've always had ridiculous interest in weather. You know, not, most of it having to do with sort of snow and winter. Sort of snow events. And so I have, like, over the years, there's another friend of mine who works up at ESPN, a really good friend of mine we've been friends for 30 years. And one of the reasons we became good friends is we both had this obsession with winter weather. And so we'll sit there and we'll look at the models. We'll end up having three conversations a day about what the latest models say. And then I got to know Sue Palka a little bit at Channel 5 because my first job out of college was for a year and a half at Channel 5. And then I call her to find out if what I'm looking at is actually real. It's great. It's half real forecasting and half complete BS. But it always ends up making for fun. And as everybody knows, Tony's totally neurotic about weather.
Oh, yeah.
So he the best thing you can do is try to create, you know, hysteria in his mind.
Well, I always imagine you and Chuck Bell and Sue Palka sitting around a big green room just riffing in front of one of those maps.
No, those are the true pros. But here's the truth, though. I mean, it's all done in fun. But I guess it was, I don't know how many years ago, but I said to Tony, I'm like, listen, you don't need to watch those dopes on TV. The information that they're using is available to everybody on the internet, which is really true.
Yeah.
You know, there is, all of that data exists, and 9 out of 10 forecasters on television basically look at those model runs and tell you what the models. They actually really create the forecast on their own. They're sort of regurgitating the model run. So all of that stuff is available, and, you know, you don't have to be that resourceful to find it. These models are it takes an hour and a half literally to figure out how to read them. It doesn't take much to figure out how to do it, but it's great because I always am hoping for the worst. Because it makes for a more entertaining forecast.
I mean, other than like the Farmer's Almanac, how far do those things even go? I mean, are you, when you're looking like 6 months out?
No. The 6 month out thing is mostly BS, and it's mostly based on, you know. But the actual forecast, like when there's a storm, you know, it forecasted in mid January. You know, you sometimes in early January you can see that on some of the model runs. You know,
yeah.
It only, you know, they're accurate maybe 20% of the time. It's probably a 1 in 5 thing, but you can see on January 3rd, you know, 2 weeks out, that there's like a possibility of a big East Coast storm. And while Jerry, it's really true, no forecaster that gets paid to forecast would alarm the public about a big storm 2 weeks out, but I think it's the opportunity to sort of create some interest in it, and knowing that I've got a willing audience in Tony, anytime I see one of those storms sort of way out a week, 2 weeks out, you just have to mention it to them. Most of the time they don't happen, though.
There are, I know that you've responded to a few of them, but there are over, I was just looking before this call, there are over 50 jingles on the website referencing you specifically in your forecast or your news or whatever else.
That, you know what, first of all, they're all, it's amazing to me, and, you know, we all talk about it all the time on the show about how much effort and how much passion and how much creativity goes into all of them. I mean, all of them are all of them are pretty good. I mean, I think the next one I hear that is really awful will be the first one, you know, we hear that's really awful, but it's actually touching in many ways. It's amazing that people are so wrapped up into the show. And long before I ever was on the show, I was always a big fan of the show, like so many people that listen to it. But it's cool that people put that much time into it, and they're all great.
Do you, I know Gary's kids listen to that music sometimes. Does your family ever give you any grief about that? Have they heard those things?
Well, my family, the next time they listen to the radio station will be the first time they listen to the radio station. They're into other things. But what happens is, I mean, like the Sheehan boy thing. Now, we actually, my two older boys and I don't know, maybe the first time we went over to Tony's house was like 5 years ago during a storm, and we actually did shovel them out. But I think since that first time, we may have gone over there 2 or 3 times, because usually it's not really necessary, and he's got somebody there to do it. But my boys, because they're in school during the show, they don't listen to the show. They hear it from other parents. You know, they hear it, and my wife hears it from friends. She'll say, like, were you guys really over Tony's shoveling him out the other day? And I'm like, yeah, that's where we were. We got up and did it. And I'll say, how do you know? And she'll say, well, Kathy told me. She listens to the show. But it's my family knows all about it, and they know about the weather thing, and they certainly, my sons know about the shoveling thing, but I don't think they realize, like, all these jingles. I think I played one for them, maybe one of the first ones that you did, I think, I played, and they were like, oh my God, that's unbelievable. But I don't think they've, you know, they're into their own thing.
Lastly here, we're just about out of time, so I just wanted to know if there were any sponsors you'd like to acknowledge for bringing us your presence on today's show.
Well, yeah, Nestle was a big contributor to today's show, and as always, we want to thank Thrifty Car Rental for all of their support over the years. They are a great sponsor, a great client, and they've become very, very good friend to all of us, and we look forward to them sponsoring the 2014-2015 Tony Kornheiser Show winter weather forecast, which we will probably roll out and do sometime in early December.
Well, we're all looking forward to that, Kevin. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us today.
Sherry, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Kevin, will it be sunny? I need a jacket to play 18 Sunday. You've nailed the forecast 1,000 times before. Look at the NAM and Euro just to be sure. Kevin, I need my forecast. Will wind affect my drive? Kevin, you know my zip code, BC20015EI. BC20015EI. Kevin, you really know weather. In this business, there's no one who's better. How does July 13th look for my group of four? Tell me the long range so that I can be sure. Kevin, I need that forecast. Will wind affect my drive? Kevin, you know my zip code, BC20015EI. I said BC20015EI.
1877 bags of salt, BAGS bags of salt, 1877 bags of salt. You gotta spread some salt today.
I woke up today and found no snow on the ground. And you know Kevin told us all we'd see how it played out. And Monday morning he's always right about the precip that we had last Thursday night. When I get the urge for knowing, I tune into Tony's show. When I get the urge for knowing what the weather will be like 5 months from now, Kevin S. is world renowned. I ride with Sheehan.
It's time for trivia, trivia, some really stupid trivia. You send me some questions and now I'll let somebody talk. Somebody talk, let's let another little talk.
Our official question for the day is, what's the deal with News Channel 8 and the Mr. Tony Show? Well, the people who are truly inside of the Mr. Tony Show know that the show is always simulcast on News Channel 8, and you can tune into it if you call your cable company and ask for the special second digital feed of News Channel 8, where the Mr. Tony Show is simulcast. Psych. There is no simulcast of the Mr. Tony Show. The News Channel 8 thing is just a little joke that they do in the show when they hold up objects or point something out to each other, and the people at home listening, logically, cannot see it.
Well, I woke up this morning and there was no show, but I remember Jerry has a show of his own. Can find it when you want it and there ain't no lag. So here comes some emails in Jerry's mailbag. Here comes Jerry's mailbag. Jerry's mailbag.
Thank you, Patrick, and thank you, Mike and Burke, for that hilarious TK Trivia answer. If you'd like to join the conversation, if you have a question for TK Trivia, or if you'd like to volunteer to read an answer, you can reach me podcast@tkjingles.com, also on Twitter at Jerry Negrelli, or on Facebook, facebook.com/tkjingles. All right, so first up here, we've got some reviews. I wanted to read one from the Android store from Andrew Veer. He says, this app is magnificent. It's a crime you don't charge for it. I ran the numbers. And even if I charge 99 cents for it, you know, how many people are really going to download this thing? I think maybe 1,500 have downloaded the iPhone app, so $1,500. And most people, if it was a dollar, wouldn't do it, so maybe I'd get a third of those people. It's not, you know, I'd rather share this with the world and everybody can enjoy it, and I'll make money in some other way with my real job. Then I found out, because I got a note, that there are actually reviews in foreign stores for this podcast and the apps, and I had no idea. It doesn't alert you, and there's no way to see them unless you visit that store. So I found a review from the iTunes store in Japan from Jeff. He says that turkey on whole wheat with lettuce, tomato, and bacon with a side of apple slices and a cherry Coke, listening to last week's podcast. And then Emilio in Canada says Jerry is sneaky funny. Those are great. And if you've written a review in a foreign iTunes store, let me know about it. Podcast@tkjingles.com. I'd love to read it here. Then another review here from Ed Butt. He says, TK Jingles was the perfect methadone over the summer for a TK withdrawal. Good call to cut back on the dosage now that we're getting hooked again. So a ringing endorsement for me to shut up and keep these podcasts short. Thanks, Ed. And then Oscar in Margate, Florida says, I understand you need interns for next summer. Don't worry, I will be happy to drop off my 9-year-old son to spend the summer with you. Oh, man. His favorite song is Cranky Old Man. That's Joe Arrow. And he hates anything to do with Johnny Cash. So sorry, Patrick. On the bright side, he is starting to appreciate music I love, and a big part of it has to do with your podcast. That is great. Thank you, Oscar. All right. So then some tweets here. I've been doing a lot of bitching about the podcast delay. And in response to one of them, you know, the Cheese Boy reported over the summer the damn thing was ending. So I asked him about it, and his answer was just eventually, with like 1,000 ellipses. So he has no more information than we do. He just, I guess they told him it was ending, and it's not really ending. So then a tweet from Rick Sharp, and this is either awesome or sad, but he says that KJ and Brad's Bohemian Crapsody was the best birthday present that he got this year. Oh, man. Oh, sorry. That is fantastic. You know, I think I take this stuff too seriously, but, you know, I'm glad that there are others out there. And then on that topic, Michael Butt said, I know your version of Fancy better than I know the actual song. I can't tell if that's sad or awesome. And I think it's awesome, Michael. So, you know, Michael, Rick, thank you guys for your support. That's fantastic. And then lastly, there is an ideas page at tkjingles.com. You hear enough of me. You hear enough of Joe. You're enough of everybody else. We sing. We get it. We're on the radio, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're funny. We're talented. Da, da, da. But I think it's important that everybody get involved in this if you can. If you have a smidge of musical talent, I have a tutorial on YouTube to walk you through how to create a jingle. There are over 100 ideas on tkjingles.com that have not been responded to. There was one last week to the tune of the Cheers theme, and both John Ferris and Bill Ecca said they were thinking about doing it. So guys, who's got the guts to do it first? Come on, please, go for it. I'd love to hear it. Love to play it on this show. Even if it never makes Tony's show, and it will always have Nigel's rubbish bin. So thank you all for listening. I had a lot of fun doing this, as always. Join me next week when I will be joined by no one, but I'll be playing some awesome music and talking about whether or not TKJingles.com has jumped the shark. Until then.
You know, I'm not a professional like yourself, so I'm sure I'm going to f*** something up here once or twice. So if there's a false start, well, we can go back and...
Jerry, none of us are professionals. This is not a business that requires a lot of professionalism.